Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is just before the new year, entering into 2016. We hope everyone had a good holiday and or Christmas plus season. We did okay. We are not joined by Brad, it's just Garrett and Wade this week.
Hello, everyone.
It's actually Brad's birthday, so he's doing the good old family thing.
Yep, happy birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday, Brad. So what's going on? What's going on with you? How are you?
Well, I'm good. Just schedule for work, just bouncing around like a jackrabbit on spring.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we've given an disclaimer before about us being explicit. Just go ahead and assume that's always going to be the case from now on, the audience. And, yeah. If it's a problem for you, we are sorry you won't be listening to us in the future. If it's not, hooray. Good for all of us.
Well, my schedule has been being changed on like a daily notice now, which is just fan-fucking-tastic. What the funny thing was is that I now have a 3-day weekend starting tomorrow.
That you've earned.
That I've earned. It's starting tomorrow of recording, today as of listening. And one of my bosses asked if I want to work the next day. Nope. And he asked, what about the next day? Nope. What about the next day? Nope. And he says, okay, well, I'll remember this. And I think it was kind of made more in jest, but it was like, screw you?
Yeah, I mean, what about all the times that you've willing to given them, you've changed your personal schedule for the sake of the company? Well, let's not worry about that right now. We'll just focus on you not doing what we want in this moment. It's like, go to hell. I'll save you on one hand, but you'll choose to forget that if it's not convenient in the moment. But, fuck you.
So it's like, nope, I got so much work to do for this weekend that I need it. I'm going to be here.
Yep.
So.
Good. Well, we were a little late to the game. We went and saw Star Wars last weekend, not opening weekend, which was fine. It was still a packed theater. I think the theater was sold out by the time we went. But when I got the tickets at this theater, it is reserved seating. And we were able to pick nice prime seats before pretty much anybody else. But they did flood in. So but that was good. So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. We're also going to talk about probably some spoilers for that movie later on. We will give you a heads up should you choose to not listen. At that point, but
spoiler warning has been deployed.
Yes, no, it's coming, but we'll give you a clear heads up at the time. It has been a couple weeks since we've talked. Is there anything that you'd want to call attention to before we get into movie notes and whatnot?
No, actually, it's been rather chill. I know I keep saying this like every week or three or whatever the hell week we are on, but. It's when you don't really have to worry about a lot. Like, when you can fix an issue before it becomes a major issue and you do so, it's like, was that really worth talking about? No.
Maybe.
So it's like, well, it's the thing. It's like, I can't remember anything that's notable to talk about because I handled it before it was notable for me to remember
before it got to a point of understood. Yeah. On this end, obviously with the Christmas stuff, and dealing with some of the drama of having people out of state that you're trying to maintain communication with for purchases and returns and whatnot is a little bit of a hassle. It definitely would be easier to just have cash go back and forth and let people buy, locally rather than someone buy something and ship it, and should it be wrong, having to deal with the, you know, the return process that that follows. So we're kind of juggling that on a few things on this side.
You mean how, like, when we're very particular on describing things on our lists, and people are like, "Nope, we're just going to give you this."
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't want to sit here and make it sound like we make all these demands either. But when people ask us for information, we are very detailed in the information we provide. And then when they kind of go off the cuff and don't really necessarily adhere to that, it's a little frustrating. And then because they're states away, trying to get receipts or know where they got items from to return them with ease is not easy. So, yeah, that's kind of the issue on that front. Okay. Well, with that, we'll just jump right into the movie information, I suppose. A couple of movies coming out this week. We have The Hateful Eight, which is one of the upcoming Quentin Tarantino movies, starring Samuel Jackson and Kurt Russell, along with Jennifer Leigh, Walton Goggins. I'm not all that familiar with him, and Tim Roth. It's kind of been described as a Western version of the movie Clue, so to speak. I have heard that some of these actors really are not big fans of each other, so it's kind of interesting that they got stuck into a room, you know, close proximity.
Dealing with each other sounds like the exact movie, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, really, it's like, wow, I mean, this is really believable. I mean,
it is rated R.
They hate each other.
It is rated R for bloody violence, Tarantino, hello. Sexual content and graphic nudity, so that's a thing. It is rated at 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that's pretty decent. If you're a Tarantino fan, I'm sure you don't need to be told, so go out there, enjoy. And, you know, let us know how it is.
For the didn't he do Pacific Rim? I mean,
Tarantino? I don't think so. He did like,
I thought it, no, really?
Tarantino did like Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill and,
who did Pacific Rim?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Tarantino. Feel free to look it up. The second movie coming out, and I'm not even sure if this is all that worth mentioning, but it is, let's see if I can even get it right. Anna Melissa, A-N-O-M-A-L-I-S-A. It is 97% on Tomato Meter. It is rated R. A man struggles with his inability to connect with other people.
It sounds like me.
Jennifer Leigh is also in this. So she's got two movies coming out in the same, you know, opening weekend. It looks like it could be semi-animated. It's kind of tough to... The main guy in it looks like there's some CG going on, so I'm not really sure what's up with that.
I see. And it was Gladmer Del Toro.
Del Toro, yeah.
Pacific Rim. Yeah, that's why. He's a notable director, too.
Sure, but they're not the same person.
Yeah.
In the box office this week, Star Wars on the second weekend pulls in an additional $149 million, bringing it to somewhere in the ballpark of $600 million domestically. It pulled in $600 million in 12 days. It reached $1.2 billion worldwide. It was the fastest movie to get to $1 billion in revenue. That's billion with a B.
Take a drink.
Number two this week is Daddy's Home. That's the Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg comedy. That pulled in $38.7 million. Joy, which is another Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence movie, pulls in $17 million. And Sisters, which is the Tina Fey and what's-her-face, her Saturday Night Live, you know, stitched at the hip movie, that pulled in $14.2 million. What's her name? Tina Fey and Amy Powler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they can, you know, take a shit without each other. They seem to be doing everything together all the time.
Wow.
I'm not big fans. That's just me. I'm sure I'll get some critic hate for that, but they're just kind of comedy and whatever. I'm just not a big fan.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to see The Hateful Eight. think I might go see
that. Hopefully it looks good. Point Break is out. It was out last week. It pulled in an additional $9.8 million. That looks really good, although I say it looks really good. Critics only gave it a 9%. So that's going to be a wait to Redbox. I was thinking that was going to be better than it is.
What was that one about?
It's a remake on an old it was with Keanu Reeves and I want to say Patrick Swayze, but I could be wrong. It's an undercover cop, and he makes his way into an underground scene of robbery and extreme sports athletes.
Oh, right.
Where they're skydiving and whatnot, and they're stealing stuff and kind of Robin Hooding it on this quest to accomplish this either 7 or 8 aspects that pay respects to, like, nature in general.
This sounds like an oddly similar plot to, what was it, Now You See Me? With Kurt Ruffalo?
It's Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, sorry.
I guess, but that was, that was definitely actions that were to a tangible goal. And I think this is more of a spiritual goal. However, you know, crime is committed in the process, and that obviously draws attention by enforcement agencies. Visually from the trailers, it looked good, but obviously critic-wise, 9%, not the greatest. Star Wars. Let's talk a little bit about Star Wars in a non-spoilery fashion for the sake of our movie segment, and we can get into spoilery stuff later. Yep. So why don't you give some of your impressions on the movie?
Yeah, you know, it was good. It was nice to hear the Star Wars theme once again in a for a new what's the way I want to go?
Generation era.
Yeah, pretty much new generation. It's very hard to speak about this without going into spoilers because, like, you want to give it context, but yet it's hard.
What did you think of some of the newer actors? Did they do it for you? The new roles that they created. Would you advocate this movie to someone who is not a diehard Star Wars person who's, you know, obviously probably seen it already once or twice?
Would I recommend it to someone who's already seen it? Is that what you just said?
Would you recommend it to someone who's never seen a Star Wars movie?
To kill time, yes. No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's, you know, it could be better.
I think to a standalone, on a standalone movie, if this was someone's first exposure into the Star Wars universe, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It's so great that the critics gave it a 94%, which is extremely high for a blockbustery big cinema movie. You know, usually your high rankings come from indie films. The story was decent. The characters and the acting was fantastic. So to someone that you said, okay, look, you know, you're not sure if you want to sit through 6 movies or 7 movies of Star Wars now. You can show them this movie, and you can use this to say, here's your way into the door, you know, here's your way into it.
Here's a jumping off point. You know, here's where you can test your feet in the water, pretty much.
Get your feet wet. I don't feel they necessarily need to. Here's what I'm trying to say. A person doesn't need to have seen the previous movies to know what's going on. They might miss some of the little references here and there, but they're not going to be lost with this movie. And I think that's a big factor for that point.
That was probably like the easiest 7 mil one character made in like a movie. And we'll get back to what I mean by that.
Yeah. We'll touch back to that in a bit.
Yeah. If you did like this movie, this episode as it was, then, yeah, you can easily jump into the other ones. Obviously, start with, 4, 5, 6?
Well, there's a few different theories out there. Now, you can either go 1 through 6 and get the full story as it's kind of intended to be told. From Anakin into Luke into, you know, Vader and all that kind of stuff. However, I have to do some research on this and verify, but if people in the more diehard Star Wars community than myself, I very much am not, recommend watching, I think, episode 4 and then 5. At 5, you get the big reveal of Daddy. And then go back and watching 1, 2, and 3. So you get the introduction to Luke and the universe. You get the, you know, Star Wars for what it was back in 77. And then you get to jump into Anakin's story. You paint that backstory, and then you jump, and then you kind of get that bit of a finale in Return of the Jedi, episode 6. So if you go 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6, and then obviously 7 just picks up from there to a point. We'll talk about that in a bit.
You'll finally learn what they were all talking about in that one scene.
That's right. Star Wars, definitely 2 thumbs up for me. Definitely enjoyed it. Definitely would recommend it to someone who otherwise wouldn't care.
I definitely recommend it if you are looking to get your feet wet. If you have not seen a Star Wars, go see it. Go get your feet wet. If you have seen it, like most of us, like us here have, I mean, hell, we had the VHSs of 4, 5, and 6 for the god long piece of time.
The originals.
Yeah, the original.
Pre-fuckoffery of Lucas and his bullshit remastering.
Yeah.
Fuck you, George.
I mean, still a go see it, but I mean, it suspend belief. Because there's not going to be much in there for you to, what's the word, comb through.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. We'll talk more about that in a bit, but let's jump into a couple news things, and then we'll talk more.
All right, first one, Steam. The hell, Steam?
Okay.
The hell are you guys doing? During Christmas, let's just be the December 25th, Steam had a quite significant hiccup, where it was generating personal information pages to people that was supposed to be for other people. And when I refer to personal information, I mean things like phone numbers, email addresses, country of residency, and others. And this is a problem because this goes on to, you know, not only people being able to use this for harassment purposes.
Yep.
But even more so, you know, there's been quite a increasement in.
Increasement is not a word.
There's been a increase in trolling since these. I don't know, say not since Steam has, but since the internet culture has taken a decent hold in our generation and the generation previous and the generation after us. And people will do pretty much anything to get a laugh. And with the information getting out, this may lead to some people being harassed due to, you know, people signing up emails that they found out, signing up an email address to a whole bunch of lists of just random stuff. Like, you've all been there. It's like, you know, subscribe and get our weekly update.
I mean, phone numbers and email addresses, yeah, I mean, that's annoying, but that's not super sensitive to me. You know, Steam is probably selling your emails and phone numbers to other parties anyway. Just like every other agency you sign up for, have to give them your email and phone number too. To make it, you know, to accidentally or potentially purposefully making it public is annoying, but it's not like social security numbers or that kind of stuff. I agree that they, you know, shame on them. What the hell are they thinking? But I'm cautious to make a massive deal about this.
I've used this name before, and I'll use his name again. Total Biscuit did do a 27 minute video stating the very potential causes of this, where social engineers have been have pretty much been able to link things. I mean, when people, and you can go to the person's full name, place of residency, they can find you on social media, and people have been able to, you know, probably not with just this information, but it's been known to snowball. They've been able to call in to certain companies, change your password, or impersonate you, change your password, and then gain access to other, you know, personal stuff. And this is also goes into things such as the swatting. If you're not familiar with that term, is where someone calls the police and says, you know, not limited to that there is an active shooter or a gunman at this place, you know, could be your home. And police are, you know, obligated, serve and protect, to investigate that. And that is with a SWAT team.
Yeah, and the people that are SWATting now are getting 25 years in prison to life.
Yes.
It's happening. Okay, so yes, the information getting out. What can you do about it?
Well, not much at this moment. You know, we do recommend it was only up for about an hour. And from apparently it didn't seem to have any effects that we know of yet. But if anyone is affected by this, I mean, this is where it comes back to Steam as a gross misuse. I mean, they said, oh, it was a configuration error. You know, some of the pages were generated were not intended for people. This is, they have not released any, what's it called? Statement saying we're sorry. This is not only another time where they have messed up. People were once, or back in July, were able to use a bug in the password system to gain access to other people's accounts. Then they still have not apologized for that.
Okay, but do we need a fucking apology though? Like, what is this fascination with, oh my God, we need companies to apologize for us? Are we that fragile now? Oh, Steam didn't apologize to me because they accidentally leaked my phone number for an hour. Who gives a shit? If there's nothing we can do about it and they took it down and no one's had any ill effects from it, who fucking cares? Then well, Total Biscuit doing a 30-minute video on it, if he doesn't give people a solution to prevent it from happening or doesn't advise people on what to do to make sure that they're not compromised, shut the fuck up.
He does. He does
good.
Give it a thing where
because
it
otherwise
may be able to help.
You're inciting mass fear and hysteria in a populace when he's got millions of followers and he's just driving people mental, worried that they're going to get hacked or their identity is going to get stolen or whatever because he does a 20-minute video on something.
He was actually saying, don't do that. Because people were going around spreading that this was a hack.
But people will do it. And when you make a 30-minute video on it, you're making more people aware of it than otherwise were.
He made a 30-minute video like the weekend after it occurred. So he made it like on today.
Yeah. Well.
So he waited till if there was an announcement from Steam.
What people need to realize, Total Biscuit's one of them, but pretty much every person in social media who generates content, we are one of those people too, is we have a public service to make sure that just reporting the news is not good enough. Sometimes news doesn't need to be reported because it's not news. You can't do anything about it. You can't do anything with it. It doesn't benefit you to know it. So there's no point stating it. You know, we don't necessarily need to know about every mass shooting going on because there's nothing I can do about a mass shooting in New York. No law in California is going to dictate changes in New York. And most people who respect firearms know that it's not the gun's fault. So there's a line in reporting news and provoking hysteria, and people need to make sure that that's there. And if no one's been negatively affected by this yet, that we know of. Steam shouldn't have to apologize. I don't care. I mean, do you really care? If you don't get an apology from Steam in a week, are you going to cancel Steam and not use it anymore?
I'm not personally, no.
I doubt that almost anybody is because of the value that Steam offers. People sitting there begging for an apology or demanding it is bullshit. One person's opinion.
Yes, and it's perfectly valid, and so is someone else's.
Opinions aren't so necessarily valid, but I'm allowed the right to have it, and I think that's yes. what we were trying to say.
Yeah, and so is other people's as well. But, you know, if I still believe you should check out that video. He was not intending for any fear-mongering or misspread of information. But I believed it for people just to see that video.
That's fine.
Just hear what he says, and there may be some ways that, you know, sure, we couldn't have foreseen this coming. This was an all internal conflict issue with Valve, the company that runs Steam, and it wasn't any part of a, you know, a DDoS or a hack. So was some information leaked? Yes. Can people going through nefarious methods get more? Well, probably not with the stuff that was leaked. So
there's really no risk.
So there's really no risk. I mean, to be honest, if it's, you know, if you're getting those emails through, you know, like weekly updates or whatever, you do have the ability to unsubscribe from that list and stop getting them. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just something that happened over the Christmas break, and it was it took Steam down for a while to get this system figured out.
See that they caught it relatively quick, and they took the necessary steps to fix it as fast as possible. Good. It was up for days, and they just were like, "Yeah, we'll get to it someday." Then that's a problem.
Yeah, we're off for Christmas. We're not in the office, so we'll get to it on Monday. Just
yeah,
you know,
that would have been bad. You have something else, right? We'll do the Star Wars thing at the end, and that way, and we'll just wrap up on that. You've got another topic, though.
Yes. Oddly enough, just after our last episode, was it 2-3 weeks ago?
Something like that.
When we spoke of Mr. Hideo Kojima leaving, or if it was unclear that they were, if he was leaving Konami Games, the day after, he announced that he has left and has created his own studio. basically being known as Kojima Productions. And pretty much has the... He says not only does he want to focus on games, but, you know, movies and music as well. Headed up with the system, producer Ken Uzumaki... I'm sorry if I'm going to butcher these names. So, here we go. Ken Imazanmi, and obviously director Mr. Kojima, and artist Yoji Shinkawa, or whatever. There is links if you want to actually see how well I butchered those names. Have actually reunited under the now new Kojima Productions. Unfortunately, there will be no, you know, Metal Gear Solid coming from him anymore, or even Dead or Alive, which the variant pseudo beach volleyball game Dead or Alive Extreme 3, which won't be coming out in the U.S. base anymore, is still held by Konami Productions.
That doesn't mean he can't make similar games.
Agreed, yeah. But, you know, you can't keep that title. No,
of course not.
So it's oddly enough that, you know, we're waiting to see what he comes up with. Obviously, you know, he does have, you know, quite a name, and he also has the backing of these other two, you know, producer and artist. So he has not released any details of what he plans to do. But there are videos of him speaking of a partnership with Sony And we do not know what that entails other than a PlayStation game.
That would be what a partnership with Sony does mean.
Yep.
I agree. Okay.
Games come first, but not the end. So he looks to broaden his horizons.
Very good. All right, so we want to jump into some Star Wars then, eh?
Spoiler warning!
Spoiler warning. If you have not seen Star Wars The Force Awakens and plan to and do not want to be spoiled by any sort of details whatsoever, you can leave us now.
Please get the fuck out.
You may exit now.
Yeah, please take the life pod filled with two droids and get the fuck out.
And get the fuck out. So, Star Wars, A Force Awakens, or A New Hope Remastered, as as I'm going to now call it for going forward. There was just way too similarities for me to for this to be a standalone movie. You know, it was treated like a reboot and not a continuation. You had a massive star system that could destroy planets. It was called Starkiller, which those diehard Star Wars fans know that that was Luke Skywalker's original name, or one of, prior to landing on Skywalker. You had a villainous person in a mask. Sounds familiar.
Starkiller was also the name of, well, in the first one, of the Force Unleashed games.
Yes. Also true. You have your main protagonist is an orphan-esque character on a desert planet. You know, there's just there's Easter eggs and there's similarity videos all over the place on this thing. It was there's just again it, for a standalone movie, not seeing any other Star Wars stuff, it's fantastic. The new characters that they introduced were great. Rey was fantastic. Finn was awesome. BB-8 was probably the most expressive character that they had.
Yeah. For I don't know how Disney does that.
Well, I mean,
they take the most unlike emotional characters and just pack them full with emotion.
Yeah, and it's you can accept it, you can tolerate it, you eat it up, as opposed to it being like overly done, which is very very cool.
I mean, go look at WALL-E for God's sake.
It's fantastic. So yeah, just similarities there were massive, to me, to where, if episode 8 is Empire Strikes Back reimagined or remastered, I think a lot of people are going to lose their shit, but I think to reestablish the universe for people, to let everybody know that the prequels have, you know, gone by the wayside, they did that. You know, they very much rooted us back in the world of the original movies, the original trilogy, which is fine.
It actually kind of annoys me the way they kind of did this going in, because they pretty much went, okay, you know, all this other stuff, this back mythos, it's like didn't happen. It's not canon anymore. Now we're just going to reboot it and with the few minor tweaks. Aren't we smart? It's like, no, you just copied the back.
You didn't even
change a few things.
You bought a book at the store. You copied the synopsis from the back of it. You changed a few little details and you called it your own. Great. There were a lot of calls back to the prequels, especially from script writing in terms of dialogue. You had the quintessential "I've got a really bad feeling about this," which had to be there. That one's been in every Star Wars movie. But just a lot of little callbacks that I felt were okay. They were good to let us know that, hey, you know, we did see the original movies and, you know, we threw this line in here, that line in there, whatnot, to make it relatable. And that's fine.
The was it the parsec joke?
Yeah, the 14 parsecs. It was 12.
Is it 12?
Let's see.
I have actually read a thing. I think it was on Yahoo, of God's sakes. That someone, like, one of the gripes they had with the movie was that Rey just like, oh, Jedi, oh, okay, so let me try doing Jedi mind tricks, and like after like the second try she like got the stormtrooper to release her. It was just like, oh, okay, now I'm a Jedi. Now I can do these.
Yeah. That was a big issue for me, is in the original movie, Luke had very little ability of the Force and had to train with it, had to trust it, you know, kind of had to unlock his mind to it.
He had to go to the Dagobah system to,
well,
to learn from
in the first
Yoda.
Movie, he was dealing with Ben, Obi-Wan. He had the shielded visor and was training on the Falcon with the little floaty orb that makes an appearance in this movie, by the way. And even
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Finn picks it up when they're in the Falcon.
Okay.
So it's a very subtle thing. And again, that thing is that something like that is fine to throw in there. Oh, look, this thing is still on board. Okay, great. I don't really know why it's been on board. It's been 30 plus years, 20 years for that since that happened. And we learned from the movie that the Falcon changed hands like 4 times. So why that's still on board, I don't know, but it is.
Stolen by this person, stolen by that person, who was stolen by this person, who was stolen from me. It was great.
Not sure how Han let the Falcon get stolen in the first place. I mean, didn't he lose it in a bet to Lando in the first movie but never really gave it to him? I think in the first trilogy.
There was a joke about that. What was the Sarlacc? Sorry, we're going off movies. The Sarlacc was like that big, like, mouth thing in the desert.
Something like that. Yeah, the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, you know, it'll eat you for like 1,000 years. It's like, well, actually, that means you would have to keep me alive. And which means the digestive process is relatively low. So being able to keep me alive, it'd have to have like some kind of like, you have to feed me.
Yeah.
It's like, I could actually live here.
Yeah, exactly. If it takes it 1,000 years to eat me, then I'm good. Let's see. I was going with something. Oh, I wasn't really going with something, but another topic is Captain Phasma, Gwendolyn Christie. Is that the biggest cop-out bullshit character in the entire movie? Well, let's introduce her walking around, acting like a badass, and then she gets bum-rushed, and she deactivates the shield with relative ease. And with relative minimal resistance.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty lame. I mean, they should have had her fighting Finn at the bar scene with that like, electrified baton thing that one stormtrooper was using.
Oh yeah, the traitor! God, that's a meme. That's people have been going off.
I know,
with that.
But like, if you're gonna have a badass stormtrooper, why didn't you just put Phasma there and just let her go to town and actually give credence to her character?
Because there's gonna be a development in the next whatever 8 and 9. It's gonna be like, "Oh, you captured me. Now I'm gonna be pissed off at you."
Yeah. I mean, the problem with talking about spoilers of this movie is in the way they did this movie, though, is a lot of it comes across very negative. And I'm trying not to necessarily be like that because the movie itself was good. I felt it could have been better. Like you said, it could have been its own story. It could have been its, you know, original content and not, you know, recycled content from 5 and essentially 6 when they had to destroy the Death Star again.
Yeah,
but
speaking, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, you have to destroy this planet-destroying thing.
Yes.
Gee, you mean not like how you just smashed like all the 4, 5, and 6 into one?
Yeah, pretty much.
By the way, can we speak upon how much bullshit that was?
Which?
For like, oh, we gotta find Rey. Oh, she just happens to be there. This is a weapon built into a freaking planet.
It happened to be like across the catwalk away?
Yeah.
It's not like a small room here, people. It's kind of a big deal.
It's a freaking planet.
And they crash landed who knows where near the shield generator deal. And she was captured in an interrogation room across, you know, which is who knows where. And they happened to stumble across each other in a single fucking catwalk by the weapon controls. Really? That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. But that's a pretty goddamn coincidence. I mean, in Star Wars, there's no such thing as coincidence, I guess. Maybe the Force drew them to where she was. I don't know.
That's so bullshit.
I'm glad that C-3PO wasn't a big part of this movie because he can get a little hard to handle. I loved when R2 powered up and showed that he had the rest of the map that BB-8 had to complete it. I thought, though, that the movie could have ended as Chewie and Rey flew off to search for Luke. And then finding Luke could have been a portion of the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of, you know, what we assume could have been across the galaxy to find him. They get there in 30 seconds of movie time, if that. And, you know, land on the island that he's at. She hikes up and here's a lightsaber that I'm not sure you want back and that you're not sure why I'm here. Hi, by the way. So I thought that was weird, but I mean, I guess they had to get him on camera and that he was only in it for that last little bit. So I'm assuming that's the $7 million you were talking about because he didn't have to do shit.
He's like, oh, turn around, don't say shit.
Don't say anything, just stand there.
Hey, what's going on?
What'd you think about Kylo Ren being Luke and Leia's, or Han and Leia's daughter, son, sibling, offspring?
Hey, do you need to know where this person comes from? Well, here you go. Isn't it all tied up nice now? It's like, no. We could have just had like, yeah, he's a dark Jedi or dark side. It's like, okay, whatever.
I mean, it sets up the conflict for the Han situation. I thought that was a little bit predictable when Han dies.
Yeah. Who the hell is General Smaug anyway?
We don't know.
It's like that was just like, Supreme, yo, this guy.
Supreme Chancellor Snoke.
Snoke, sorry.
Played by the one and only Andy Serkis, who is Gollum and many, many other things.
But it was just like, here's this guy. It's like, didn't we kill the Emperor for this? Yes.
Now, there's a big fan theory on this right now and some supporting evidence, but, you know, it's tough to say. But in episode 3, when Palpatine is talking to Anakin, pre-Vader, he's talking about a Sith Lord that had the ability to prevent people from dying. Could control the Force to such a degree that he could prevent death. And it was said that this Sith Lord, I forget his name, wasn't able to save himself. And a lot of people attributed that to Palpatine being the apprentice and Palpatine killing him. But maybe he didn't die and this is... And Snoke is that person. Now, people believe this because the soundtrack that played, that the actual track that played during that conversation in episode 3 is the same song that's playing on A Force Awakens titled Snoke. Coincidental or just, you know, a good use of a soundtrack? You can be the judge of that. Otherwise, I'm very curious as to who he is and if he's of such grand size or is that all just a power trip? I am big and you must look up to me in this hologram projection, but I may in fact only be of normal size or less.
If dark Jedis aren't anything more than egotistical maniacs.
Pretty much. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting deal. Yeah, I mean, I do wish Brad were here. He is definitely far more insightful and knowledgeable in the Star Wars universe than we are. And I'm sure has far more things to say on spoilers. So we might pick this back up next week when he's here. But aside from that, I mean, like I said, in general, a good movie. I thought too many elements were recycled from previous stuff. Not enough original content.
Yeah, they just like retcon the entire backstory and then just like shoved it all together into like three movies into one.
And we don't really know how the First Order came to be. They just arose from the dark side and the ashes of the Empire. You know, things that maybe could have been better expressed even in the opening scrolling text. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
So. But unless you got anything more, I think that about does it for me.
Nope. I would just say keep on gaming.
Yep. Again, like us on Facebook. Follow us at Twitter, facebook.com/abundance.not. Twitter is at abundancenot. Wade is at AAONCWAL599. We look forward to hearing from you there. And aside from that, we'll see you later.
Goodbye.